Olá, eu sou a Patrícia Tavares, profissional da área de Recursos Humanos e Global Mobility há mais de 25 anos. Junto com a Vanessa Romão, idealizamos e construímos o Brasil Talks, um espaço de informação, conhecimento, discussão, disseminação, networking e transformação da área de Global Mobility. Em nossos podcasts, encorajamos diálogos e promovemos conhecimento da forma mais ampla, democrática, transparente e globalizada. Espero que você goste desse podcast.
Hello all, this is Vanessa Romão. I am the co-founder of Brazil Talks and Atam Talks together with Patricia Tavares. And I am here today with Stephanie De Los Angeles. She is the client manager in Air Inc. And we are going to be talking about one of the topics that we do love, and maybe you do not know everything about it. It is the COLA. So I have Stephanie here, and she's going to tell us everything about it and let us know what COLA is after all, and how we can manage that, how we can use that, how we can be an expert on the topic. So Stephanie, I invite you to be welcome to Brazil Talks and talk a little bit more about COLA. So Stephanie, why is COLA after all? What is that? And why is this so important for our expats?
Hi Vanessa, thank you so much for having me. So yes, so cost of living, that's what it stands for, is cost of living allowance, what we often refer to it as COLA. It's an ongoing allowance paid to employees on international assignments. So the COLA is paid to protect the employee against higher cost of goods and services while they're in a host location on assignment for their employer.
Okay, and when do you think it's used or could be used, or would you recommend this to be used?
Yeah, of course. So we highly recommend it for any employee that is on an international assignment who is still on a home-based salary. So they're still receiving all of their salary based on their home country, but they're just going on an assignment and there's a higher cost of living in the host location. And we want to make sure that we provide this COLA because we want them to not be financially disadvantaged while they're in their host location, right? So we want them to maintain that same spending level that they had in the home country in order for them to, you know, remain financially neutral. So they're not being financially advantageous while on assignment, but they're not, you know, they're not worse off now at the host location.
Yeah, so you just mentioned something very important. We are talking here not about locals. So we are not talking about someone who is going to be permanent transferred or who is a local to local or who is actually a new hire or a local hire, or it really doesn't matter the terminology that the corporate is going to use. But we're not here talking about someone who is permanently moving to another country because we do not have any more the reference of the home country, correct?
That's right. So the tie to the home country is very important here.
Exactly. That's really good information for us. And how is this calculated after all? I know that sometimes people get confused on where to find the correct information and what are your sources to calculate this from your perspective as an expert and, for example, from Air Inc. So can you give us a little bit of the idea on the backstage of that?
Yeah, of course. So the COLA calculation, it can get a little bit complex, but mainly there's two components. So there's the employee spendable income and the cost of living index. So the spendable income is something that it's a term that comes up often in economics. But what it is it's the percentage of your home salary that you would normally spend on goods and services. So if you think about your salary or my salary, we kind of divide it up into four buckets, right? So we have our taxes that we always have to pay. We have expenses for housing and utilities, and then we have goods and services and a little bit of percentage goes towards savings. So what we do in order to come up with the COLA is we take the statistical average of all the countries in the world, let's say in the US, and we have a percentage that's dedicated to just goods and services. So just to keep numbers simple, let's just say 40% of my salary goes towards goods and services here in the US. And when I go on assignment, I want to make sure that whatever I'm able to buy in the US with my, let's say we're basing this off of $100,000 salary, with my $40,000, I want to be able to still spend and buy the same amount of goods and services that I did at home. So when we go and compare the cost of living in the host location, we come up with what's called a cost of living index that's based off of 100 that will give you a relationship as to how much more expensive or less expensive the host location is relative to the home country. So let's say, you know, it's the index to my host location. Let's say I'm going from US to Singapore. The index, let's say, is 150. So then 50%, it's going to be 50% more expensive than it was here in the US for me. So in order to calculate the COLA, what we'll do is we'll take that percentage of what's the spendable income. So let's say the $40,000 based off of that $100,000 salary. And then we'll just multiply it by the cost of living index and then subtract the spendable income to come up with the difference between the two. And then that would be paid out to me while I'm on assignment. And it's usually divided up based off of the payroll. So it's usually included along with the salary, but obviously it's not the actual salary, right? It's an additional salary, an additional allowance in order to compensate for the higher cost of living.
Yes, great. This is really clear, and how you explained makes us understand the way that it works on the background. But then I have another question for you. I know that we manage different levels of employees everywhere. So thinking about the corporate HR, do you have different levels of calculating COLA? Like if I am going to calculate that for a manager, for a director, or for a president or a VP. So how is this connected to COLA calculation?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do have different levels of COLA indexes depending on what the company's policy is. So a lot of times companies have certain policies, like you said, for VPs, and a different policy for, you know, developing roles like interns or new grads or new hires. So there are different levels of the index. And what that basically comes down to is just different levels of subsidy that the company wants to provide to them. So if they want to provide, you know, more of a generous package for the VPs, the more strategic roles or assignments that they kind of need to have, that they're there for a reason and talent really wants that person to be there, they can have a higher level of COLA versus somebody who's a new hire or, you know, a new grad student that's coming in and just taking on this developing assignment just for them to just gain career experience. They can apply different levels based off of that, but mostly the main market practice is one policy for all, and sometimes they'll differentiate on mobility premium, or they'll decrease it for housing subsidies, things like that. But usually the COLA, they'll either be generous for some roles, they'll be more lean, more agile for other roles. But yes, we do offer different levels of COLA, and we also offer like exclusions. Oftentimes companies will provide a company car, for example, so we'll deduct that from the cost of living analysis. That way they're not getting double allowance, right? So they're not getting this full COLA allowance plus a company car and fuel paid and everything.
Yeah, so it's somehow adjustable and flexible to companies to be adjusted to the compensation statement that they are going to be providing, right? So
that's right, yeah.
That's really good to know, right? And thinking about the opposite now. So what happens if we have a negative COLA?
When you have a negative COLA, so what this means is, if we go back to what I was talking about, the index of 100. So if you have an index of 100, that means that the cost of living relationship between the home country and the host location is exactly the same. You know, the cost of living is pretty much equal to one another. If it goes up higher, that means that the host location is more expensive than the home location. But like you said, if it's lower than 100, so if it's, let's say, 90, that means that the home country is more expensive than the host location. So what does that mean in terms of the expat itself? So when they are, let's say if they're going from US, let's say they're going to Bangalore, India, right? If they have that same $40,000, that $40,000 is going to go a lot further in Bangalore. So they can buy a lot more than they could have at home with the home goods and services prices. So this means that financially, they're better off, right? So they can live more lavishly, for lack of a better word. But pretty yeah. much what happens is that they're not going to want to come back home, right? So if they're living like this big life in Bangalore, India, they're not going to want to come back home. So sometimes companies will implement a negative quota and kind of scale back the pay, but it's not common. So it's not market practice. And I'll tell you why, because it's already one thing. You're asking this employee to kind of give up their friends, their family. I mean, they might bring their immediate family, but they don't have their extended family with them in the host location. You're asking them to take on this new role to, you know, kind of uproot their life for a year, 2 years, who knows how long the assignment's going to last. And then on top of that, you're going to ask them for a pay cut. They're probably not going to want that.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So oftentimes what companies will do is they'll just keep it at zero. They won't pay them an additional allowance, but they won't deduct the pay just to keep the employer satisfied and for them to kind of accept the assignment. And additionally, it tends to be an administrative burden, right? So it's a lot of work to kind of update the negative quota and keep deducting pay, especially if it keeps going negative. Your expat's not going to be happy while they're on assignment. So a lot of companies just opt to not do it.
Yeah, that's true. And we know that employees tend to compare their offers with other ones. So it has to be a rule that is followed by the whole company, right? So if it's something in your policy, you have to put it there and stick to it. And as you said, this is not market practice. So this is a red flag here for everyone who is listening. Please pay attention before you take any decision, right? Before you make your decision, just think if it's worth doing it, right?
Yeah, because like you said, if other people are doing it, they can easily just jump ship and go take another assignment somewhere else.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Yeah.
No, we don't want that. And what about local inflation? We know that some countries, they deal with inflation problems, and especially in LATAM. So how is this treated? How do we handle that through COLA?
Yeah, so inflation is a big part of COLA. We talked about the index, and the index varies off of two things. So two economic factors, exchange rates and inflation. And when it comes to inflation, it's both the home country inflation and the host location inflation. So remember, the key thing about COLA is that tied to the home country. So inflation in the home country still affects you while you're on assignment. Because essentially what we're trying to do with the COLA while you're on assignment is to keep that spending power equal as to what it was in the home location. So a lot of the inflation, especially today in news, there's global inflation everywhere, right? So there's, we always have those locations like Argentina and Venezuela, where those are just common names in inflation, like we're used to having high inflation there. But a lot of places like the US, you know, the UK, Canada, they're experiencing higher inflation than normal. So what happens is we at AirRank, we collect the prices of goods and services in the host location, and we come up with a relationship between the two. So if somebody in the US is going to Argentina, for instance, their COLA is going to be impacted not just by exchange rates, but also by how quickly the prices are going up in Argentina. So is it quicker than the US? Yes. So their COLA usually will increase. But the opposite is true. So if they're from Argentina and they're going to, let's say, to Canada, then the inflation in Argentina is being outpacing the inflation in Canada. So what's going to happen is their COLA will most likely decrease, because what they used to be able to spend, so their spendable income that they had at home is not buying as much as it did before. So in Argentina, it's very common for prices to change, you know, every month or two. And, you know, if they were paying, you know, let's say 50 pesos for a gallon of milk, now it's 70 pesos, that shrinks their spending power. So that spending power is now lower. Now they need less of an uplift from their COLA while they're on assignment in Canada.
And everyone who works with mobility or is on the expatriate side knows that we know that this is true. This is what happens in real life, right? So we see this going on all the time. And thinking about it and the examples that you just brought from Argentina and Venezuela, can we say that COLA is also something that should be considered a retention tool? Like it helps to balance the inflation and the currency devaluation somehow. So COLA should be part of the policies from your point of view also as a retention tool?
It's a good way to look at it. So it's a retention tool in terms of keeping the expat whole, right? So we're trying to make them maintain their spending power and being financially neutral. So we don't want them to be worse off than they were at home. So in that case, yes, it is a tool to help them, you know, maintain their spending power while they're on assignment and kind of keeping them happy and keeping them at the same level that they were before.
And also not only retention, but also to keep the offers, expatriation offers, attractive, right, to employees and to other people. So it is a very powerful tool to global mobility. To actually have my last question to you, how often do you think COLA should be revised? How long do you think we should wait until we review that and just, you know, look at that and implement, or what would be your recommendation?
Yeah, so our recommendation would be a COLA update every 6 months with exchange rate changes, like reviewing the exchange rate changes every so often between the updates. You don't want to go too long without updating your COLA, because your COLA allowance, it really should be in line with what's going on with the economy. You don't want it to be so far out of date that when you go update the COLA, it's a drastic change. And then you're getting a lot of calls asking, you know, why is my COLA going down? So you don't want too long to go between updates. You want to make sure that you're on top of it and are reviewing it constantly. For instance, you know, everything that's going on with Ukraine and Russia nowadays, it's important to know how those economic factors are impacting the COLA, making sure that your expats know that you're looking out for them, right? So at the end of the day, you really want them to know that you're on their side. You're trying to keep them whole and you're trying to protect their spending power while they're on assignment.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I think this was really, really clarifying, and this is going to help us and everyone who is listening to not only understand, but also to be more proactive and to actually use COLA on our side, right? So let's use it more. And if you have any questions, I'm sure you are available to help and to answer, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's important for global mobility professionals to know that it's okay for you not to know the answers. Like if your expat's calling you, like, why is my COLA going down? Reach out to your partners, reach out to your reliable partners, like Aaron, for example, and we're happy to help explain these, because it's not your job to know everything that's going on with the economy, but we're always here to help and help communicate the changes with your expats.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for your time. And this was our podcast for the month. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Espero que você tenha gostado. Nossos podcasts estão disponíveis no nosso canal do YouTube.